Kof Gimel Teves, Wednesday the 18th of January, Rabbi Shimon Gurovitz. The Makkos and the division of Elias in Parshas Va'eroh.
Find this Sedra. When it comes to the division of Elias, when we read about the Makkos, we find very, very interesting divisions. And actually, before we start discussing the difficulties, I'd just like to actually mention that there's a bit of controversy about the division of Aliyahs that we have. It's written in Ma'aser Rav, and it's Kuflam Abbas, that the Gaon and his minion had the following anhoga. First of all, he never called up more than seven people. No isophus at all. In Koren Kiyum Zayin Karui. Sorry?
Never.
Carries on.
The Gaon.
And it carries on and it says, "Ve'ein masaymin the parshiyos hanirshomim bechumish." The Gaon didn't finish, didn't utilize the divisions sheni shlishi revi chamishi that we have in the Chumash. Ki im b'mokim shi psucha istuma. He only stopped at the end of a parsha, peyo asamach. That's when he would stop. Oy b'morav mokim shenira yoisa hefsek inyan, where the division appears very clear-cut. Chaim Vital also takes issue with the divisions that we have. It's in his explanation on the following Zohar Kodesh, the Zohar says as follows. Asir le leman dekori kori b'raisa, it's forbidden for those that are reading the Torah, le mifsik parshasa oyafilu milachado elo ba'asal deposuk Moshe. You may only finish at the place where Moshe Rabbeinu actually finished. Parshta Kadishta, La'am Kadisha Yafsik, in other words, by a pay or a samach, you cannot just finish randomly in the middle of a parsha. And therefore, also, the Chaim Vital is of the opinion that you wait for a pay or a samach. The Mugen Avraham, in the beginning of Siman Reish Pei Beis, he says the Zoya is not referring actually to the Hefsekim, to the divisions in the middle of a parsha. He says that what we're referring to is the actual sedras, that the sedras have to be divided up according to the way that Moshe Rabbeinu divided them. Breishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayero, each sedra on a specific Shabbos, and we don't change the division of the sedras. But of course, one may stop in the middle of a parsha, in the middle of a parsha Psucha, in the middle of a parsha Stuma. There's no reason why one can't do so. And in fact, the minhag ha'olam is to utilize the divisions that we have in the parshas. So we'll have a look at the divisions in this week's Sedra, and we'll try and explain and be miyash of the minhag ha'olam. When it comes to the Makkos, there's many, many opportunities to make divisions. The most obvious would be to divide between Makkah and Makkah, or between every two Makkos. But even within the Makkos, you've got plenty of opportunity. After the warning from the Ribbono Shel Olam before the actual Makkah, after the Makkah has taken place, before Pari asked for it to be taken away, there's many, many places where one could make a division. But let's have a look and see how they're divided. The first division after the Makkah actually starts is Chamishi. Where's Chamishi placed? Chamishi is placed in the middle of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Pari. Pari calls Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, "I've had enough of Makkos Fardea. Please, down to the Ribbono Shel Olam and have it taken away." And Moshe's reply spans three psukim. That's Perek Ches, Pasuk Hey, Vov, and Zayin. Vayim Moshe the Paris, Boalayim, Master Moshe, Ata Lecho, etc., etc. Vayim Lamocha, Laman Tedekin, Keshem Lekenu. Vesorah, Tzvadim, Mchom, Yitech, Les Pasuk Zayin. That's the last of the three psukim which formulate Moshe's reply. Chamishi is placed right in the middle. In other words, it spans three psukim. It's after two psukim, before the third. In the middle of Moshe Rabbeinu's conversation, Chamishi is placed. Doesn't make any sense at all. Why was the division placed there? Let's have a look at Shishi. Shishi is placed in the middle of Parshas Orev, and in fact, in the middle of the Ribbono Shel Olam's conversation to Moshe. Vayei Hashem al Moshe, Hashkim Babik v'siyasev lifnei Paroi. And Koyomar Hashem, Kim Encho Meshalech Sami, Viflace Vayemus Heres Goshen, Kiani Hashem Mekeravoret, Vesamti Fudus Ben Ami Uvein Amecho. Conversation that spans four psukim, One before the end, the division of Shishi. Why is the division placed in the middle of a conversation? The Ribbono Shel Olam is talking, three psukim into his conversation, we have to stop with the Shishi. Doesn't make any sense at all. There has to be some rationale in the divisions. Sorry? No. Not the Aliyah. The Galochim did the Prokim. The Aliyah was done by the Galochim. Question is who did it? And how big a Talmud Chochim he was. It's not clear who did it, but it wasn't done by Galochim. Then, the next Shvi is actually in Parshas, is actually referring to the Makkah of Borod. And there again, the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashkim baboy kibitz Yasef mitnei paroi v'malte ilov. Koyama Hashem alekei o'ivrim, ki v'fam azois. Bavutei dekein kumonim cholores, ki ato shlachti es yodi. Vurim bavu zois hem adeticho. Oitchem is teo v'ami. A conversation which spans five psukim. More. 7, 8, 9 psukim. And right in the middle of the conversation, we have Shvi. Why was it done like this? What's pshat? In order to actually explain this, I'd like to start off by posing various other difficulties, various other chilukim and ha'oras with reference to the Makkos. First thing I'd like to mention is as follows. If you have a look, the Makkos generally were preceded by a warning. The Ribbono Shel Olam warned, Pari didn't take the warning, and the Makkah came about. Three Makkos were brought about without any warning at all. Kinim, then there was Shchin and Choshech. Kinim, Shchin and Choshech were brought without any warning at all. All the others were preceded by a warning, except those three, and we have to understand why. Another differentiation that we find with the Makkos is we find that some of them were only removed after Paroi's request, and some of them were removed even without a request from Paroi. Tzvadea, Oroiv, Borod, and Arba all were only removed by request. Dam, Kinim, Debe, Shchin, and Choshech apparently disappeared without any request from Paroi, and we have to understand why. And I feel that with Dam and Debe, we can explain it, but with the others, we're going to get stuck. When it comes to Dam, I think we can understand why it wasn't dependent on a request from Paroi. It appears that all the Makkos were dependent on Paroi's request. They were only removed once Paroi requested their removal. Because in actuality, it would appear that Paroi was unaffected by Makkos Dam. He seemed totally undisturbed by Makkos Dam.
Why did he say Gam? This is the first Makkos.
Oh, Gam. Because they explain the Mephoshim, because previously one had had the nest with the sticks, and that didn't move him. The stick turned into a snake, and that's the Gam as well. Gamlozois. In fact, the Mesh Chochma has got a novel interpretation to explain why Paroi was unaffected by Makkos Dam. He says as follows, that we know that if the Mitzrayim paid for water, then it actually remained water. He said actually there was a big debt outstanding to Paroi. Paroi had looked after Moshe Rabbeinu for a number of years. He'd never been paid for that. There was an outstanding debt, and therefore he had water. It was as if he'd paid for the water. In fact, I saw in the Sefer Mishnah Sabaran, he brings down a Brice. The Brice says that in Paroi's house there was water, and one of the explanations gives three reasons why, and one of them is actually the explanation of the Meshech Chochma. This was repayment for Moshe Rabbeinu being looked after, being boarded and lodged by Paroi. So Paroi was understood by Makkos Dam, so we can understand why that Makkah wasn't dependent on Paroi's request, because there was no reason for Paroi to request. Makkos Debe, we can also understand why it wasn't dependent on Paroi's request, because it had all happened already. They were told that any animals that were out in the field would die. They'd all died already. There was no purpose in the request to take away the Makkah. The Makkah was finished. It was all done. It's far there. They were still there. The Oroiv were there. They had to be removed. But Makkah's never taken place already. There was no room or point in a request. Kinim, Shchin, and Choshech, why were they not dependent on Paroi's request? Why did they go away by themselves? There's another Makor which seems to demonstrate that Kinim, Shechin and Choshech were different than the other Makkas. If we have a look in Tehillim, in Kapitla and Ches, over there Dovid HaMelech outlines the various wonders that the Ribbono Shel Olam did for Klal Yisrael over the years. And of course amongst them we find the Makkas. He starts as follows, Vayafuch l'dom yoireyem, that's Dom. Yishalachem Oroiv, okay. Utzfadeya v'tashchisev, so we have Dam, Oroiv and Tzfadeya. It has a different order, we're not going to discuss that now. Vayitin l'chof liyuvulam v'yigim l'arba, we now have Arba mentioned as well. Yarei b'borot gafnon, borot. L'chosach miyomas nafshu v'chayosum la'deve hiskir, deve v'yachkol b'chor, and that's it. 7 out of the 10 are mentioned. Which 3 are missing? Kinim, Shechin, and Choshech. So we see that these 3 Makkas, Kinim, Shechin, and Choshech, seem to be somewhat different. First of all, they carried no warning. Second of all, they didn't require a request from Pari for them to disappear. And third of all, Dovid HaMelech misses them out in Kapitel Ayin Ches into him. There's various other differences in the Makkas I'd just like to highlight. And that's as follows. As we've said, most of the Makkas carried a warning. Makkas Dan says as follows. Leichel Pare Baboike. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu to actually warn Pare Baboike in the morning. Makkas Oroiv, Hashkim Baboike v'siyasev ifne Pare. And then when it comes to Makkas Borod, there again, we're told, Moshe Rabbeinu is told, Hashkim Baboik Vitsyasa Vitne Pari. The other Makkas it says, Boil Pari. So by Dam, by Oroiv, and by Borov, Hashkim Baboik Vitsyasa, the other ones it just says, Boil Pari. Why? Another point that we can highlight is as follows. The Makkas only afflicted the Mitzrayim, they didn't afflict Klal Yisrael. Yet it's only by 2 Makkas that the Ribbono Shel Olam in his warning highlights this point. In Makkas Oroiv and Makkas Deve, the Ribbono Shel Olam in his Hasro, in his warning, he highlights the fact that Klal Yisrael will not actually feel the impact of this Makkah. It says in Parshas Oroiv, V'fleisi b'yem ahu es eras goysha she'ami oimed ole'o, V'samti f'dus b'yem ami u'b'yem amecho. And there again by Deva, V'hiflo Hashem b'mikne Yisrael, u'v'mikne Mitzrayim, v'lo yomus b'kol v'nei Yisrael dova. In the warning, it's actually outlined this differentiation between Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. By all other Makkas, this differentiation is not highlighted. Why is this so? I'd like to actually quote a Malbim, which I think throws a lot of light on the Makkas, which will help us understand these Nekudas. Says the Malbim as follows. Malbim says that the Makkas are divided into 3 sections. In fact, as we know on the matter Moshe, Rabbi Yudah Hoyalos Men Simonim, the Tzach Adash Ba'achav, 3 divisions, and on the matter Moshe, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's actually what was written. The Tzach Adash Ba'achav. The Malbim already mentions the actuality, Makkas Bechoris is really a separate entity. That was actually the Makkah which was given to bring about the actual sending out of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't really belong with the other Makkas, but it's added on at the end by Achad, but in actuality a separate entity. So we have 3 sections, Tatach, Tamsvade, Kinim, Adash, Oreb, Devashkin, and the 3rd section is Borod, Arba, Choshech. Those are the 3 sections. Says the Malbim that each section came to teach Paro, came to teach the Mitzrayim, and in fact Klal Yisrael as well, different lessons. Says as follows, the Tzach came to teach the Mitzrayim. Paro had denied the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, had to teach the Mitzrayim that there was a Metzias of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In fact, we have a look by Makkas Dam, it says, Bezois Teida Ki Ani Hashem. Tzfadeh, it says, the man Teida Ki Ein Kashem Aleikim. You have to know, you put your belief in your gods are false gods. In actuality, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is the Adon HaKol, he is the master of the Bria. That was the tachlis of the 1st section, the Tzach. It says the Malbim, in actuality, one only needs two witnesses, two aidim, to demonstrate the point. So he says as follows. He says, Tetzach Dam and Tzfadea, they were the limut, they were the malamad, they were the makas that were there to teach Paroi and to teach the Mitzrayim that there's an entity that is the Ribbono Shel Olam who controls the world. Because Paroi didn't listen, because Paroi took no notice, that's why he deserved the Maivish. So Kidim was brought about as a punishment for not taking note of Makas Dam Tzfadea. So in actuality, Dam and Tzfadea, they were the malamad. They were the Makkas which taught this lesson that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And Kinnim was the Onesh for ignoring the lesson that they've been taught. That's the first section, Tetzach. Adash. Orev, Deva, and Shchin. Orev and Deva were brought about to teach Paroi and the Mitzrayim something new. You've already learned there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm going to now demonstrate to you that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Mashkiach Bashkocha Protis. That the Ribbono Shel Olam actually controls everything that goes on this earth. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not just a Ribbono Shel Olam who's there, who was a creator. He actually controls every facet of this world. As it says by Makas Ored, L'man teida ki'ein Hashem bekeref ha'oretz. The Ribbono Shel Olam is actually dealing with all mundane matters. There again, you only need two aidim, two witnesses. This was demonstrated by Ored and Deva. Paroi and the Mitzrayim took no notice. Therefore they deserve an Einish. What was the Einish? Shchin. Let's move on to the last section that Ribbono Shel Olam brought. Wondrous happenings, borrowed, Eish and Mayim together, Arba, says the Malbim, they were brought about there again to demonstrate, as it says by Parash Makkos Borod, Teida ki ein komoini b'chol ha'oretz. There's nobody like the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam has the ability to do anything and everything. This was once again a new lesson, not just that he's Mashkiach Bashkocha Protis, but ein komoini b'chol ha'oretz. An absolute master, nothing's out of the Ribbono Shel Olam's control. And there again, the third section, there were two Makkas that demonstrated this, Borot and Arba, and because Paroi and the Mitzrayim took no notice, therefore they received the Oynish, which was Makkas Choshech. Says the Malbim, now we can understand why some Makkas came with a warning, and why some Makkas came without a warning. The Makkas that were there to teach were preceded by a warning. This was all part of the learning experience. This is going to happen. We outline exactly what's going to happen, and then it happens, and you can see where it's coming from, because it's all been predicted beforehand. The warning was part of the lesson. So the Makkas that were given as lessons were all preceded by warnings. The Oynish, for not listening, that was given just straight as an Oynish. It wasn't preceded by a warning, because it wasn't a learning experience. It was a straightforward punishment. Therefore, says the Malbim, that is why Kinim, Shchin, and Choshech weren't preceded by a warning. In fact, if you have a look in the Chumash of Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch, he says, virtually identical, he says virtually the identical pshat as the Malbim to explain why there's no warning. With this perhaps we can understand, once we've divided it into three sections, why by Dom, Orev, and Deva, the warning is given Hashkim Baboike, because they're beginning of new sections. Each one was beginning of a next section, it was a new start, Hashkim Baboike. Dam was a new start, it was a section, the section of the Makkas that were teaching the Matzias of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Orev was there again, a new start, teaching Hashkocha Protis, and Borod was a new start to teach Kein Kamoini Choloret. So each new section starts with Hashkim Baboike, Masha'enke, and the other Makkas it just says Boyel Par. We pointed out that by most of the Makkas they were dependent on Paroi's request that the Makkas be taken away. Dam and Devil we managed to explain, but Kinim, Shchin, and Choshech, we couldn't understand why they weren't dependent on Paroi's request. And the answer is in exactly the same manner, I feel. Those Makkas that were a learning experience, those Makkas that were brought about to impress upon Paroi, they come from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you've got to learn something from them. They were structured as such that Paroi had to admit and had to request that the Ribbono Shel Olam actually take it away in order to impress upon him that this comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam and the lesson is there for you to learn. Kinim, Shchin, and Choshech, they were punishments. They weren't learning experiences. Therefore, it didn't require Paroi's request to take them away. When the punishment had been given, then it went away. It was nothing to do with a learning experience of Paroi, and therefore it didn't require his request. Tehillim, we find these three Makkas missing. And in fact, actually, the Malbim and Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch, both of them in Tehillim, explain in this manner. We're enumerating, if you have a look at the beginning of the Mizmor, that's the purpose of this Mizmor, Mizmor Ayeches. We're enumerating all the various wonders that happened to the to Klal Yisrael over time, in order to pass on to our children, our grandchildren, the lessons that can be learned from them. Dam, Tzvadeya, Orev, Deva, Borod, Arba were all Melamdim, they were all Limudim, and therefore they are mentioned in this Mizmor. Kinim, Shchil, and Choshech, which were just punishments for Paray, they weren't given in order to teach Limudim, therefore they're not mentioned in Mizmor Ayin Ches. That's why those three are missed out. Now let's go back to the other Ha'oras that we pointed out. We pointed out that it's only in Makkos, Orev, and Deva that the Ribbono Shel Olam's warning actually points out that this will only apply to the Yidden, to the Goyim, to the Mitzrayim. This won't affect the Yidden at all. Why was this so? I think the answer is straightforward. Because the purpose of the first Makkos, Dam Tzvadeh, for example, were to demonstrate that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. You serve the Nile, demonstrate there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. In fact, the Malbim explains, if you have a look at the first two Makkos, at what were they directed? They were directed at the Nile. The Nile was turned into blood to demonstrate that the Ribbono Shel Olam is stronger than the Nile. And then Tzvadeh was brought about, says the Malbim, in order to demonstrate that the Nile itself will be utilized as a tool to destroy Mitzrayim. The Tzvadeh came from the Nile. It was to demonstrate as the Ribbono Shel Olam is God and not the Nile. Not to demonstrate Hashgacha Pratis. Or even Deva were there to demonstrate Hashgacha Pratis. As it says, Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Ha'aretz. How was this demonstrated? You have a look. Orev will only affect Mitzrayim, they won't step into Goyishim. Deva will only affect Mikne Mitzrayim, it won't affect the Mikne Yisrael. The purpose of these markers were to demonstrate Hashgacha Pratis. That's why when it comes to these markers, the Ribbono Shel Olam actually points out in his warning, have a look, you'll see. Mitzrayim, yes. Klal Yisrael, not. Although it defies the laws of nature, Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Ha'aretz. That's why this is highlighted in these two markers. In fact, if we have a look, we see that there were only two Makkos that the Ribbono Shel Olam did himself. All the others were either done through Moshe, through Aaron, or through Moshe and Aaron together. Two Makkos were done by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Vayas Hashem, Makkos Orev was done by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and Makkos Deva was done by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Why was this so? Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Ha'aretz. The purpose of those two Makkos were to demonstrate Hashkochas Hashem, how the Ribbono Shel Olam is being mashkiach b'hashkocha protis on every facet of this world. And that is why those two Makkos were done by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Now, I'll go upon it. This all supports what the Malbim is telling us. Yeah, Max Bukhari was a separate section. Max Bukhari was done by the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was a Maisa Shiluach. It didn't actually belong with other Makkos. That's why I haven't discussed Max Bukhari. You're quite right. Max Bukhari was done by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we have three sections. The first section came to teach us the second section came to teach us Hashgacha Pratis, and the third one comes to teach us there's nothing like the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's go back to the Aliyahs, and I think we can now understand the division of the Aliyahs. As we've learned, the point of the Makkos were these lessons. That was the point of the Makkos, and that was in actuality what has to be accentuated, this has to be brought out. Chamishi, that was in the middle of Max Fadea, Leman Teda Ki Ein Ka Hashem Alekeinu, and we stop. Because that's the limit of Hans Fader. The man Teda Kein Kashem Alekeinu, and that's why we stop at this point, in the middle of a conversation. But whoever divided these aliyahs is trying to accentuate what was the purpose of these Makkos. The man Teda Kein Kashem Alekeinu, that's so to speak the punchline. Here we stop, we have to accentuate, this is what these Makkos are all about. We move on to Parshas Orev, Shishi, as we've said, the division is in the middle of a conversation. The man Teda Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Oretz, stop. The purpose of Orev and Deva, as we've said, was in order to demonstrate Hashgacha Pratis. This was the punchline, this is the high point, this is what we have to stress. Therefore, Shishi might be the middle of a conversation, but we want to accentuate what needs to be accentuated over here, the limud of Makkos, Orev, and Deva. And then we move on to Shvi, which is in the middle of a conversation, Parshas Makkos. This is the purpose for Ma'aseh of these two Makkos, in order to demonstrate how far reaching is the koyach of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and there again we stop, in order to accentuate that this was the purpose of these Makkos, this is the limud, this is the overview of the Makkos.
Very nice.